Do you know beyond any shadow of a doubt that you are here to do something wonderful with your life? Do you feel that call deep inside you to bring your sacred healing gifts and transformational knowledge to the world around you? Do you want to feel inspired as you build your business doing your beautiful work? Do you want to learn how to build a successful spiritual business? Well then, you're invited to listen in to the Divinely Intuitive Business Radio Show, where we explore how fun and easy it can be to build a strong, abundant business while at the same time staying deeply connected to the divine using your intuition, your own sixth sense. Join the irreverent Reverend Ann Presswell as she and her guests explore the many ways you can build a deeply connected, authentic, powerful spiritual business making money without feeling like you've sold your soul. You are here to get your gifts out to the world in a powerful, abundant way, and your people are waiting for you. Let's help them find you. Now, here's your host, Reverend Ann Presswell.
Hello, 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 Divine Ones. It's so great to have you here on the call with me today. I'm Reverend Ann Presswell and of Divinely Intuitive Business, and I have a wonderful guest with me today, Jeff Lawton, who is a relationship architect. Now, you guys got to know, this is a guy who is, such a yummy man who really loves and understands relationships. Like, can you imagine being his wife, right? So I'm going to introduce him in just a moment. First things first, let's do a blessing and say thank you, thank you, thank you. Each one of you here is here to bring your gifts into the world, and you are divine, powerful beings. You've been guided to do something wonderful, so go do it. Follow that vision. It's there in your heart, and the way is also there. It cannot be otherwise. It just cannot be. And so it is. Today's angel card is the rich relationships card. I like how perfect, right? For Jeff to be here on the call with me today, the relationships card says, my business is divinely guided, and it touches many lives. I connect deeply with the world around me. And, you know, in order to connect deeply with the world around you, you must be connecting deeply with the divine, deeply with yourself, deeply with that beautiful spiritual part of yourself. That's what we do. That's what those of us who are bringing our intuitive, divine, sacred gifts to the world, healing, coaching, whatever format that you're bringing your gifts to the world in, you are connecting deeply with the divine, and you're connecting deeply with the world around you. I can't wait to talk with Jeff, so let me introduce you to him. Please, let me just find the information. Okay, so Jeff is an author, a public speaker, and a workshop leader with 20 years of experience in coaching and mentoring individuals and couples to have the relationship of their dreams with themselves and their partners. He's a relationship architect. He understands what it is to be in a relationship and to be someone who is vulnerable, who's open, who is loving, who speaks his truth, who has a spiritual connection. He understands this. He's been with his wife for 33 years. He's a proud dad. He's the author of the soon-to-be-released book, You Have to Make the First Move, Dad. I can't wait to hear about that. That's the first I've heard of this, Jeff. My goodness. Uh-huh. So I want to welcome Jeff. He and I met three, 4 years ago at one of these events, and we sort of saw each other across the room. We started talking. We've been, you know, connecting ever since and having great conversations. So, Jeff, welcome. Welcome.
Thank you, Ann. Pure pleasure to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
Absolutely, absolutely. So, all right, so how did a nice guy like you get into a business like this?
Well,
you have a relationship expert. I mean, this is such not a guy thing, right? You know, I mean, come on.
Well, let me say that I think some men get a bad rap, but
okay, I'm doing
question.
It right now, aren't I?
Yeah, but that's the great thing I love about being a guy in this arena, because I know, given that the vast majority of my clients over the years have been women, and a lot of what I hear is, you know, how come men aren't more like you? And by that, I mean, that's a nice compliment, I guess, but what I take that to mean, relevant to your question, is that men are actually, I think, as emotional, as deep feeling a gender as women, we have more barriers that make it more challenging to do that. And I've always been somebody that was pretty open book. And so the way that a nice guy like me got into this was basically like a lot of entrepreneurs I've known over the years, absolutely without an inch of forethought or planning, where I was in a corporate career, and like I think a lot of people have experienced it, have moved from anything corporate into entrepreneurship. There were many years of being successful in the corporate arena and doing good work, making nice money. You know, I had everything that I grew up being taught were the measures of having made it in life, except by the time I was 35, I had all those measures, except I wasn't really particularly happy, except with my family, but I was such a workaholic, I wasn't spending much connected time with my family at that point. And I weighed almost 300 pounds, and I was unhealthy as all get out, and I was a workaholic. So I had all the external measures and none of the internal realities that I think are really necessary to be happy. And I kind of knew it. I knew it was coming. I knew that all was not well in River City. And I, like a lot of men and people, I just kept kind of plowing through and ignoring a lot of the clear signs that were being given to me. And finally, what I like to call the celestial 2x4 hit me over the head first physically. And being an invalid for about a month got me to realize I had to take better care of my body. So I lost about 100 pounds, but I didn't lose any of the inner baggage. So I looked fabulous, and I still felt like crap. So then I got 2x4 number 2, which really hit me at the emotional level, panic attacks, anxiety attacks. And that finally got my attention to start looking at what was going on inside. And in the course of doing that, lo and behold, to, I know, no surprise on your part, I really discovered that I'd always known what I really wanted to do, and I got distracted, and I got, you know, away from it, and that was always to connect with people and love on people, help people. I mean, I had a gift for that even when I was a kid. And so going back to work on myself, it really reconnected me, heart, mind, body, spirit, with the passion I had for transformational work, doing it, receiving it, growing with it, and there was no looking back.
Okay, so I got to hear this, like, there was a moment when you made a decision that you were going to leave corporate and you were going to step into this business. I got to tell you, that is, it's such a big decision, and it becomes a no-brainer for the people who do it, right? But now, of course, you can look back. I mean, you're successful. You've done, like, incredible work. You've been doing it for years, supporting yourself, your family, all of that for years. But in the moment on one side, when you're looking at it, it's like, oh, shit. excuse my mouth, but like, oh no.
Oh, good. I was going to ask if I could swear, so I'm happy that you paved the way. Go ahead.
Yeah, okay. So it's like, oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to do this? You know, and like, what was that like for you? And how was your wife with that? You know, because that's a big, big step, you know?
Yeah. Well, to be completely honest, I could sum up what that was like with two words, scared shitless. I'll try and have that be the only time I swear, but I think that says it better than anything else could. I was terrified. I was exhilarated on the one hand because I'd had years of knowing that I was kind of dying inside with the corporate job. It really wasn't working. Once upon a time, I was like completely clueless about, well, if I don't do this, what am I going to do? And when I really started doing the work on myself and, you know, got the aha, I was exhilarated. I felt, oh my God, I felt more alive than I'd felt in I don't know how long. And, you know, you're right. There's this thing about, oh, yippee, I found the Holy Grail. And then the thoughts begin to come in. Oh, God, I've got it. You know, how do I build this? How do I make money at it? Because, you know, as you know, it's quite a shift to go from a paycheck every 2 weeks to not knowing when your next check is going to come in when you're first starting out. So my wife initially was kind of mixed mind, I think. She knew I wasn't happy, and she wants me to be happy. So she was very supportive about looking for an alternative. And when I told her what it was, I don't think it really surprised her, but because we'd already been together for 12 years or so. But when I told her, you know, there's really, you know, if I do this, I don't know how it's going to turn out. I'm not going to get paid every 2 weeks for a while anyway. And then I was actually terrified enough that between my moment of realizing I'm doing this to when I left corporate forever to do it full time, it was about a year and a half, 2 years. And in that period of time, what I was doing was working my corporate upper management job by day, coaching people at night, leading workshops on weekends. So I was really operating in both worlds at the same time. And oddly enough, the time came where I hated my job so much, but was having trouble getting through the terror of fully letting go of the quote-unquote secure income, that my wife finally just said to me, look, would you just get off it and go do it? You know, here's something she said to me that made all the difference in the world. And this is definitely, in my opinion, a guy thing. Because men are hardwired to provide. We've got millions of years of protecting our women and children and going out and clubbing dinosaurs to death for dinner. And so that part of me, so much of that terror was, what if I can't provide for my wife and my kids? And my wife looked at me one night. I'll never forget this. She looked at me and she said, I'd rather be poor and under a freeway with you than living in a nice house and having you be dead or miserable.
Wow.
And
made us all. Yeah.
Still get choked up. That gave me the permission that my mind needed, because so much of my hesitation was not wanting to let her down. And so that reassurance that she believed in me, she believed in my mission, and that what mattered to her was not how much money we had, but that she had me, that was all she wrote, and that was the beginning of the end of living in two worlds.
Wow. Okay, so that's incredible. What a gift. And, you know, let's talk about for a minute the difference that that level of support and love makes in your business versus not having it, right? I mean, because I've known people who left a job and their spouses, now most of these are women that I know of, and their spouses just could not get behind them to support them. And what actually ended up happening is the relationship died.
Yep.
Because the women that I know had to choose between their divinely given dream and vision and someone who could not be in alignment with that as well. And not only was not in alignment, but also was actively pulling away from, you know, and making it even harder.
Yep.
And so let's talk about it, because I've been very, very blessed to have someone in my life who has that same level of support. It's night and day difference. But I've been in a relationship where I had not the support and I had the other. I had the, you know, like, why do you think you can do it? What do you think you're doing? You know, why are you, you know, why don't you just go get a job? Why don't you just go, you know, whatever, fill in the blank.
Mm-hmm.
About that. Because I'm sure you see it all the time.
Oh, I do. I mean, it's a really unfortunate thing that a lot of, you know, because you and I kind of run in very overlapping circles in terms of the entrepreneurial world. And I don't know many, you know, you're really one of the few that I've known over the last 5 years that have been able to make a business and their marriage thrive and be healthy. And I think that the use of the word healthy is really important, because a lot of people that come to me for help with their relationship, they mistake longevity for quality.
Mm.
I mean, my parents were together for 54 years and they hated each other for 53 of them. Is that a successful marriage? Not really. So
that's a long, man, that's earth. Oh my word.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know, longevity doesn't mean much unless it's healthy, and if it's not healthy, that longevity just means that each of you have highly developed inner masochists and sadists. But that digression aside, I think that, number one, with having that kind of support, that happened in my case because we'd already had, and I think this is true with you and your husband, we'd already had, before I even started thinking about going into a business, we'd already had challenges, we'd had rough spots that we'd had to hit. And so before I went into the business, we had already talked about what our values were. We'd already talked about what our priorities were. And where either of us were falling down on the job, so to speak, with honoring that. And I was the worst offender because I was such a workaholic that I wasn't nurturing my marriage and my relationship with my kids the way that I really in my heart knew I could and wanted to. So I think when you're looking at how you bring relationship and an entrepreneurial business together, if your relationship is not first and foremost, well, period, first and foremost, but on top of that, if you two haven't really talked openly and as radically honest as possible about what might this mean, how does our relationship fit into this? Because my experience is a lot of the people you're talking about and people I know where they lost their marriages were already in trouble because mm-hmm. of how little they were communicating before the business comes in. The business ends up being the final straw that kills it off. So you've got to have healthy relationship habits up front, period, before you even think about going into an entrepreneurial enterprise.
That's brilliant. I'm thinking about, so let's see. I'm thinking about when Francisco and I met, I was already an entrepreneur.
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, he came into the marriage where I was already doing that. So it wasn't like I had a healing practice, but I was very much a baby, very much a baby practice at that point. I was new to it. I was barely getting clients. I was already struggling. I was like, ay, ay, ay. And he came into my world at that point because it was at the tail end of the healing of the trauma and all of that. So, but he only knew me as that. He didn't know me as someone who went to work every day, right? So that, to begin with, was there. The second piece that was also massively in place was that within that first year, I did have success. I did have clients come in. I did have, you know, significant number of clients and consistent clients and consistent income, and that transformed everything as well. The next year, the second year was even better, third year even better, but I was already showing myself that I could do it, and he was seeing that. So it wasn't like a five-year struggle for money, you know.
Right.
It was the first year that was like that, and I was able to turn it into some level of success, which I think makes a big difference in someone supporting you, like psychologically supporting, right?
Yeah, well, and I think that's also a kind of simultaneously tangible and intangible element in that is the level of security that your partner has about themselves.
Yes.
About, and particularly their relationship with money. Because a lot of people, myself included, it took me a while to really get to the point where, you know, this was in the time before there were really a lot of coaches like you and I out there helping people like us with business. So I was fumbling around on my own, and I wasn't making a lot of money for a while, and my wife happens to be somebody, like a lot of people, who, you know, security is a major deal. And so it's interesting that, you know, I had her full spiritual and emotional support, or actually intellectual support, I'd say, and when I wasn't making money as quickly as I hoped or as quickly as she may have hoped, it definitely created some tension. But the thing that helped us get through it is we knew that even when it got tough, and this is a piece of advice I'd give to any entrepreneur looking at going into this kind of thing, we knew it was going to be tough, but we also knew that there was no way we were going to let anything destroy our marriage. Mm. And that if push came to shove, the marriage was the number one thing. And if I had to go back and get a shutter, a job, I would, but which I've never had to do in the last 20 years, thank God. But the other thing that helped us get through it, that I think anybody looking at integrating an entrepreneurial business into their life, is I had other people around me that I could go to when I was scared to death. I didn't want to, you know, give all my fear to my wife.
And oh, my
so
God,
I
that
had
is
people,
so big. Yes. Even still, I got to tell you, I do that. I don't go when I'm like, get freaked out about something. I don't always go to Francisco because I don't want to, you know, have him, he's not walking my world.
Right.
He just doesn't understand. And actually, same with him. He doesn't bring home a lot of his fears about, am I going to get the grant money, you know, enough to pay for his salary for the next summer, and will I be able to, bring in enough money for, you know, whatever, fill in the blank.
Right.
He doesn't bring all of that. He might say something, and then I'll just ask, hey, how's it going? Yeah, it's fine. Yeah, I got it, you know, whatever. It's not like, but we do talk about it, but we don't I don't go and lay that at his feet. And that's huge because he doesn't get this journey. And I don't
right.
want to do that to him. I will do it with someone else who's on the same journey, who understands and who can say, all right, well, have you thought about this? And what about that? And maybe you could try this or whatever. Fill in
uh-huh.
the blank. That makes a huge difference. I like what you just said about putting the fear on her or on the marriage, right? It's like you manage your own fears and you don't expect someone else to be the sort of repository of those fears. You're managing
right.
them appropriately and respecting this relationship and understanding that they, you know, sometimes they just can't do that for us, and it's not fair to even ask them to do it. In my
yeah.
opinion.
I for the most part I agree with you. The only place where I might differ is I think it's a matter of degree, because I was so much the way you just spoke that I wasn't really connecting enough with Sarah. You know, there I had to find the right balance between keeping myself vulnerable with her, which does not come easy to a lot of men. You know, we can be very vulnerable, but there's a lot of conditioning that says that's a really weak thing to do if you have a penis. And I found that I went too far to the other extreme, to where Sarah felt cut off. She felt she, you know, and listen, sorry, I'm going to digress quickly about this one thing. One of the greatest lessons I learned when my business was really struggling to get off the ground was that any illusion I had that I was like manning up and appearing like that strong, silent type that's just making shit happen and it's all going to be good, I didn't fool Sarah for a moment. And it was quite an eye-opener when I finally realized, okay, I'm keeping too much from her.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I'm being too, quote-unquote, strong. And she's feeling me, but I'm not talking. And
so
she had to remind me, okay, I'm glad you have people that you can talk about certain things with, but I am your best friend, and you don't need to protect me or save me from your emotions. I'll let you know what's too much.
I love that. So here's what I'm hearing about this, and I agree with you about the degree. I 100% agree with you about that. I think that what she did right there was she said, I'll take responsibility for myself and where I'm at, and I'll let you know what's too much. So.
Yep.
Share with me. And that's so healthy. That is so healthy.
Yeah, well, it's a pretty critical element to the notion of an interdependent versus a codependent relationship. A lot of relationships that I see, of course, I see these, that's my job, are very codependent.
Yeah.
Some so blatantly it's ridiculous. Others very subtle, to where, you know, each partner doesn't really get how codependent they are. And interdependence really is what you want to shoot for. And that can't happen without that level of each person being self-aware, each person taking full responsibility for their own experience with anyone else, with themselves, with life, and sharing that with each other, as opposed to, you know, well, without you, I'm sunk, or I've got to have somebody. My partner has to be the person that is that sole repository of, you know, all my light and all my dark. That doesn't work very well.
That's a heavy load to carry, man.
You got that right.
Yeah. Like, whoa. All right, so let's talk about, I think that's like a brilliant segue into a distinction between codependency and that healthy relationship. So let's talk about, give us some examples of what someone who is codependent in a relationship, would look like, right? I mean, I think you just did a good job, but I want more juicy with this. So,
okay. So imagine.
Man, I want to hear it.
Imagine the couple who are sitting at the breakfast table, and the wife or the husband, whoever cooked the breakfast, puts the food on the table, and they're sitting down to eat, and one person or the other says something like, how do you like the eggs? And the other person, who may or may not be fully present, says kind of rotely, they're good. And they say it without even making eye contact with their partner. And the partner that asked, how are the eggs, is suddenly beginning to interrogate the other person. Well, they're good? Are they just good? Are they better than yesterday? What's wrong with them? How come you're not really even looking me in the eye? You must be upset with me. You're holding some kind of issue with me, aren't you? And the eggs is just your perfect opportunity to suddenly let me know how, you know, inadequate I am as a cook and as a partner.
I'm exhausted.
Right. Okay. So there is a perfect example of a codependent relationship. And it also encompasses a lot of other things that go wrong, codependent or not, in a relationship around communication. So assumptions are being made up the wazoo. All this started with, how do you like the eggs? And it's early in the morning, so there really hasn't even been enough time for either of them to really either be fully awake or grounded and present. But all those questions that started spewing out of that person's mouth, they're all coming with this energy of, oh my God, he, she is unhappy. I screwed up. Something's not right. And a low to high grade panic kicks in. And that happens because that person has put their partner in the role and in the position of being both the source of their well-being and or the outcome of their well-being, good, bad, or ugly. And so all of their power has been given away to that other person and to the relationship for one state of well-being and one state of balance, presence, and groundedness.
I'm only okay if you approve of me, right? I'm only
right.
okay if you,
right.
and you constantly tell me that I'm okay.
Right.
If you don't constantly tell me that I'm okay, then I must not be okay, right?
Right. Well, it can work both ways, yeah. I mean, it can also be, I'm only okay if you're not upset with me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's a subtle difference. You know, because when we want approval or we want recognition above and beyond, you know, healthy, normal, neurotic needs for acknowledgement, which are human nature, it's a subtle difference, but also very powerful, whether we're oriented towards, I need these words of validation or affirmation, versus I need no words because no news is good news. So then you're in this relationship that's all about never making waves.
Yeah. Like, and you walk in this world all the time.
I do. I know. I'm a sick bastard, aren't I? I don't know.
How do you? Okay, so I'm all curious now. How do you help someone? Because I'm sure that you work with people for, and this is not a quick fix. This is about relearning who you are.
Yeah.
This is about relearning how you relate to the world, how you relate to another person. I mean, this is deep stuff. How do you help people learn this, relearn? Like, right?
Well, the good news is a lot of, I mean, there's always stuff to learn. You know, I'm not done. I'm always learning. But the thing that you alluded to that I think is so important to answer your question is that a lot of what creates those kinds of relationships are a blend of trauma that, you know, we get old enough to think, well, that was then and this is now, so that doesn't mean anything, which is total horse pucky. And it's a blend of the wounding, the trauma that all of us went through in our families, our family systems as we were growing up, and it's also about what we forget. You know, like we forget who we actually were when we were young. We forget who we are now. Like really, like our soul nature. We lose touch with that. We forget about that. So the good news is it's all still in there with everybody. It's just a matter of how much garbage and debris, distortion and delusion have been, you know, bulldozed on top of that core truth of who we each are. And a lot of what I love doing is really helping people get all the debris off, seeing what's still there that has always been there that now is actually ready to be amplified in a major way, because usually by the time you get old enough to realize how miserable you are, you've at least got enough life experience that if you can reconnect with that essence, then you've got all this wisdom and experience that we didn't have when we were children to bring to that essence to kind of exponentiate it, you know, just multiply it exponentially. And so a lot of the trick is first helping people kind of reorient the way they think, particularly around anyone who's really codependent and is giving all their power away to external forces. Job one is to come back and help them really get and begin to trust that nothing is creating their reality except them.
Mm-hmm.
And to come back to that. Then,
yeah.
Then you, from there, you let those parts of you that you're reconnecting with, your authentic self that you're reconnecting with, you bring them together, and now you've got this whole different kind of, I'll call it a power source. You have this whole different foundation and power source from which you could actually start designing, well, what is it that I really want instead of what I've been, you know, settling for and resigned to, and because I was just, you know, in a huge distorted illusion. And what do I want? And how do I want it? And so then I end up helping them get reconnected to that clarity, which also is inside of everybody, but we all have our times of not being able to know how to connect with it. So I help them do that. And when they get connected to that, then they start dreaming again, and they start looking at, well, you know, what feels like I really want to be doing is X, whether that's in their life, their career, their business, their relationship. And then I help them get the rest of the debris off, because most people don't really, either they don't know what that debris is, or their ego is hell-bound committed to never going anywhere near it.
Right.
And so I help them kind of get their courage up to go and get the debris off, and then to build what they want from that reclaimed, that reconnected with part of themselves, because that knows exactly what needs to happen. We just need to get reconnected.
You know, that's,
did that answer your question?
Yeah, it really does. And actually, I was thinking about my own journey during this, because, you know, years ago, when I remember starting to read, you know, when I really started to delve into, I call it, like, in my 30s, you know, I started to, like, discern what my different feelings were, because I would say, well, I think that da-da-da-da-da, and when someone would say, well, what do you feel about that? And I'm like, well, I think that, you know, well, no, that's
right.
Thought, and that's not a feeling, that's a thought. And I'm like, really? What's the difference?
Yeah.
So I had to learn, like, the difference between a feeling and a thought, and because I was always in my head about things. And then there was this long process of making those distinctions and starting to understand, well, what is codependency? What is, you know, what is healthy? What is healthy? You know, what's healthy communication?
So it was my daughter being in my life that had me really very inspired, because I didn't want her to be raised in a super unhealthy, or even unhealthy, like, you know, put it super, we're going to forget super, just, you know, I didn't want her to be raised in an environment where the communication was unclear, or there was all this passive aggressive, or whatever, fill in the blank,
right.
You know, unhealthy
right.
relationship stuff. So my whole journey, like, I was introduced to Landmark Education, like, years ago, 20-some years ago.
Yep.
That one really made a difference in my life, because they talked about being your word, and they talked about how do people understand, you know, how can people even begin to know who you are unless you are who you say you are? And that like blew my mind up in a whole new way of like,
yep.
oh, people really are listening to what I say and seeing if I can follow up and being my word. And like, wow, that was a whole new concept for me. Seriously, it was. Because
yeah.
I've been raised in an environment where that wasn't even something people did, you know, I'll call you, with something my dad said, and, you know, never did, right? So, you know,
yep.
he was like one of the original guys who would go, I'll call you, you
know? Right.
Like, never
yeah.
fulfilled on his promise, like, he just didn't, you know? So I was raised with a whole lot of that kind of stuff, and for me to learn to honor your word was, I mean, it seems so basic, but it wasn't basic for me at that point. And I
no, and
yeah.
Okay, finish your point, and then I'll add something.
Well, it just kind of like, now when I look back on it, I really get what you're talking about. This journey that I've been on has been really all about really getting aligned with that, and just learning who I am and what. I don't even have words around it, because it's so big, it's so massive, and yet it's also so basic. It's so who am I, and how am I showing up in the world, and who do I want to be? How do I want to be showing up in the world? That's
a big question that a lot of people in my experience don't ask. You know, like, who am I? That one's been around for a few thousand years. But how do I want to show up, or the way I like to put it in is, how do I want to experience my life? How do I want to experience my business? How do I want to experience my marriage, my children, my friends? How do I want to experience living my purpose? Like, we walk around, and if you're always in your head, the head, the mind, always tends to orient towards metrics, like how much money in the bank, how often am I getting laid, how often is my business growing. There's these measures we have, a lot of which are quantitative but not qualitative.
Mm.
And the bottom line that I see, you know, you can be a couple with a lot of money, your financial needs are met, and you can be miserable because one or both partners have paid attention, and this is a trap of being an entrepreneur and wanting to have your own business if you're not careful. It takes a lot of energy to build a business. It takes a lot of energy to keep a relationship growing, vibrant, thriving. And if you stay on the quantitative level as the measure of success, one of which, unfortunately, is often, well, you know, it's been 5 days since my husband yelled at me, so I think we're doing good, versus the quality that you're describing, and you talk about keeping your word. And, you know, one of the biggest complaints that women have that I hear about their partners is he keeps saying he's going to ... and it never happens. And then I talk to the guy, and the guy says, well, I told her I'd do that. Well, how many times have you told her you're going to do that? Well, I don't know. And I said, okay, lesson number one, gentlemen, your words don't mean shit unless your actions are congruent with your word. And that's essential to trust. And then, you know, when that's not there, then the other partner, male or female, is likely to feel, you know, on very shaky ground because I don't, you know, if you don't have trust, you don't have anything.
Yeah. And, well, I just want to, I want to anchor that point or with you share a little experience that I had, not little, it was big. So in my last marriage, which was, you know, with brain tumor and chronic, you know, just a lot of problems, but his compulsion to lie about everything had me then determined that my next relationship, the number one thing more than anything else was integrity, right? Does this person do what he says he'll do when he says he'll do it, right? And so when Francisco and I were dating, the first time I can remember this so clearly, he said to me, I'll call you tomorrow. Like, you know, you can hear what I just said about my father, right? And I'm like,
yeah.
Okay. What time?
Right.
And he said, around 4 o'clock. I can do that around 4 o'clock because I've got, you know, I've got this and this and this. And I said, okay. All right. I'll talk to you then. And I didn't say anything else, but I believe me, when it was coming up to 4 o'clock, I was looking to see, did he call? You know, is he going to?
Mm-hmm.
Always. Did. He always fulfilled on what he said he would do, always. And I was like, dude, this guy's got something going on, seriously going on, because he does what he says he'll do when he says he'll do it. He was congruent. And I've noticed that, like, life flows for Francisco in ways that I've never seen anybody else. And it's because of that one piece. But he's also a deeply intuitive man. He's a very spiritual, but he's also very, you know, very vulnerable man. He's just a wonderful man. I mean, I joke that he walks on water and I don't. I'm still learning to walk on water. Like, you know, like, I'm married to, you know, like someone who walks on water, and he's like, no, I don't, you know. But, like,
right.
I watch him and I'm like, damn, wow, that's so incredible. He pulls me up, you know, he raises me up.
Right.
But that was the one thing for me that was a deal breaker. It really was. I was paying attention to that because of what I'd been through before.
Yeah. Trust, no relationship. And, you know, and I noticed you use that term, he helps raise you up. And I think that's also, by the way, a nice quality of a healthily interdependent relationship is you don't depend on the other one for your state of being, well or not, but you actually share your state of being with each other in a way that naturally inspires a level of reflection and confirmation, affirmation that isn't built by need, but it's being built from true, wow, I get what you're about, I get what you're gunning for in this life, and I want you to have that, and I know you've got everything that you need to do it, and I'm just going to be one of your cheerleaders. And that's a very different thing than, you know, I'm not on track if I'm not being told by my spouse every day that I'm on track or that I'm enough or such things like that.
Yeah, it's really true. Thank you for that. It's such a beautiful thing to say. And by the way, I don't want to give anybody the impression that life is perfect, because it's not. It is and it's not. You know, like, we have our differences. Like, he, you know, he's a morning person, and he's like, okay, let's go. And I'm like, stop. Just let me sort of ease into my morning. You know what I mean? So we have different rhythms with that, but it's kind of funny. Anyway.
Well, how boring would you and Francisco be if you didn't have issues or if you didn't have differences?
Mm-hmm.
You know, when Claire and I first started dating, everybody on both of, you know, our families, some of our friends, they were like, we don't get it. You know, like, what are you doing with him or what are you doing with her? Because there were a lot of, you know, I was 24 and she was 35 and had a kid, and like, what are you doing? And but I knew what my heart said. And, you know, 33 years later, it's like, well, who got the last laugh here? And a lot of it is because of how different we are.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it's...
Gives you some juice.
I have to tell you, like, I can remember when I was moving my very first... I was moving into my first office, right? And he's helping me pack up my books. Now, this is a guy who's, like, been... He's an engineer, right?
Yeah.
And he's so smart. He's so smart. You know, we joke about the, you know, we watch Big Bang Theory, and I joke that he's like Leonard, you know, and I'm a little bit like Penny, a little more street smart than he is and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But in any event, so we, like, he's helping me pack up these books, and he pulls one down on channeling, and he's like, what's this? I was like, don't worry about it.
Yeah, they don't teach channeling in engineering school.
They don't teach channeling in engineering school. All right, so Elizabeth, you got something you want to say? Elizabeth, yeah or no? Oh, never mind. No, don't worry about it, Elizabeth. Jeff, tell us what your gift is. You have a gift for our listeners, and I want to make sure we get that before, you know, we're coming to the close, unfortunately, because I could talk with you all day. This is so fun.
Yeah, well, likewise, and I think we should do it again.
I agree. When are you available?
Well, the gift that I would love to make available to your listeners is a talk. There's a recording that I made that is really kind of talks about some of the same stuff we've been talking about today, but has, you know, a bit more detail that we didn't have time for today about how can you move from happily ever after to true bliss in your relationship. And you know, we didn't go into it today, but let me just say to everybody that the notion of happily ever after, I think, is one of the biggest shams ever perpetrated on the human race, particularly when it comes to marriage, because happy and happily ever after don't go together, in my experience. So if you'd like to hear more about that and hear my ramblings and tips on how to really move your relationship into kind of yummy, juicy, real life as opposed to fairy tale kinds of places, you can go to my website, which is www.geofflaughton.com, jefflaughton.com. And when you go to the homepage, right on the right, there's receive your complimentary audio. So all you got to do is just put your information in the windows and click on send my free audio, and you will get that MP3 delivered to your email box within minutes. And if you take advantage of that offer and you listen to it and you like it and you email me at the email address on the site, there's a link, send Jeff an email. If you email me and say that you're a follower of the irrepressible, irreverent Reverend Ann, then you will also get an additional gift. This is for the first 7 people that get in touch with me from having heard this show. If you just let me know that you're a follower of Ann's, then I will make available to you a complimentary, what I call a relationship design review, where we can look at how your relationship is or isn't and where there might be some room for designing improvements. And you'll get, you know, my coaching on how you can really design a new relationship if that's where you're at, or how you can redesign the one you're in to kind of up-level from, say, maybe a 2-bedroom tract home into a gated community with a mansion of a relationship with angels and with spirit flowing all around and helping feed that mansion of love that you can have.
I love that. Okay, so www.jefflaughton.com. You're going to get his how to move from happily ever after into true bliss in your relationship. And then for the first 7 of you, just email him and you're going to get a relationship design review, a complimentary relationship design review with Jeff, which is just so juicy because, as you can hear, even just a few small tweaks in this will make a big difference in your relationship. It
yep.
really will. I've gotten some really fun distinctions here today. Thank you, Jeff. I've really
Of course.
Fun. Yeah.
You well, if it's not fun, why bother?
For real, right? For real. Yeah. Oh, my goodness. I'm just, do you have any last words of wisdom for our listeners?
Sure. I would say that the key thing to that can make an enormous difference in the quality of your life, the three top tips I would give for right now is every day try and spend as much time in your heart as you can and allow your head to go in the back seat because your heart has the purest information more often than not than your mind or your head will be. And you want to let your mind be the one that makes your heart's dreams come true, but don't confuse the mind's dreams for what your heart may want.
Good.
The second thing I'd say is that if you're in a relationship and if you're wanting to start your own business, make sure that you work with your partner to get clear on what both of you value, what both of you believe is going to be needed to make your relationship remain your number one priority, so that you design the business with that relationship stability already, in a sense, designed. And thirdly, remember, if you're not aligned and in your own passion and joy in your personal life, your business is not going to be as successful as it could be. You can make mechanics work, but if you're an entrepreneur, particularly somebody that is serving people rather than like teaching them how to build a widget, if you're not keeping house with your inner home, then your clients or potential clients are going to recognize you're out of alignment and your business is not going to really fly.
Brilliant. Thank you. Really,
you're
really
welcome.
Okay, and the piece about being in your heart is always, like, that's where your intuition lives. It's that, because if you're in your head, you can't hear your intuition. You just, you know, it comes from your heart. Okay. Thank you, Jeff. Thank you. I am so grateful that you shared the time with us today, that you gave us your wisdom and your wit.
Well, thank
Love
you.
That.
It's my pleasure. I had a blast.
Especially that, you know, a little bit of cussing. It's so fun. You know, I mean, people think that ministers shouldn't cuss, and probably is true. We shouldn't. But sometimes there just are no better words. All right, everyone, taking a nice deep breath. We are so profoundly grateful for this time that we've had here together. Each one of you has unique gifts. And share them from your head. Let them shine. Go get your divine on, everyone. We'll see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Bye now.
This episode of the Divinely Intuitive Business Show has been sponsored by the Divine Business Club, the only place where divine intuitives like you can get proven business building advice on how to get your sacred gifts out into the world and make the impact and the money that you want to make for less than $1 a day. For more information, go to www.divinebusinessclub.com.